And I know you can feel it. I'll tell you what. What can I say? Except I'm almost late. I was almost late to my own show, our show. I mean, how is that even possible? You know, I mean, really. But in my defense, okay, I had to give lady some loving, this lady, the studio dog, some loving. She was feeling pretty upset because she couldn't come down to the office with me, and Maxwell, of course, got to do it, and she was up. So hey, I was playing the dog father, okay? But tonight we got a great show lineup for you. It is Thursday, June 19, 2025. Hey, Steve Quayle's not going to be on tonight, which he called me earlier, and he wow. Sounded rough, man. You know, he has the keyboard letters inscribed on his forehead from falling asleep at his computer. I told him, I said, "Hey, get some rest for crying out loud." I mean, what are you trying to do? You launching rockets from your house or what? Okay, I mean, hey. So anyway, so with me is Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com. If you want to converse with him, tell him that he's good looking. Or not.
Or not.
Eric the Tech, of course, manning the control booth at Hagman Report Central.
Flibbity jibbity nonsense.
There's that. And got something a little bit different for your plan. Now, okay, before I bring RT on, hang on just a second here. Humor me with this. I want to caution people. Okay, a little bit of knowledge can be a very, very dangerous thing. Now, I don't know what kind of metaphors I could possibly, what, you know, hey, okay, so white is ground, or is it black ground? And then you know that, but then you don't know about what wire's hot, but you think you know. And see, it could be a very dangerous thing. So anyway, but what I'd like to do, what we'd like to do tonight is offer, and let me get a poll from chat. Are you guys sick and tired about hearing about Iran? Are you sick and tired of hearing about politics, the headlines, the BS, the crap? Would you like a little bit of discussion? Oh, I forgot to check that box. Hang on just a second. Let me check this box. Okay. So are you, You want to talk about some behavioral analysis? Would you like that? Would you like some demonstrations of reading body language, paralinguistic signs? Would you like that? Do we have a choice? Yeah, we can go away. Seriously, yeah, you do have a choice.
Act like you're happy about it.
Wait, come down there and smack you upside. No. I know where you live. We know where you live. We got ways. You hear the knock on the door. Hey, it's stuck. Bam. Okay. So seriously, would you like a? No, oh, I don't know. Not a class, but just, well, an exhibit of how to pick up signs of deception, how to, when you're talking with someone, the nonverbal cues, what to look for. Does that sound like something you guys might be interested in? You don't have to be in law enforcement to understand. I mean, no, use it in everyday life. I was thinking about this, and I didn't even talk to RT about this before the show, but you know, there are so many things, so many people out there talking about whatever the news of the day is, which is fine because that's what we do too. But not a lot of people talk about things that you can employ. It doesn't cost you anything, just a little bit of your time. You can use in your daily life and say, you know what? I think that guy is lying to me. I think that salesman is trying to hose me. I think
or even in the daily news and the politicians.
There it is. RT, come on board. Randy Taylor, RT@HagmanPI.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. That's yeah, everyday life. You're the ones watching television. The politicians are in your face.
Yes.
We're all, you know what? All of us see the same news. But do we really see the same news? You know, there's times tonight,
yeah,
we're hoping
point.
That, and Doug's light years ahead of me on this, really. But
nah,
you have to be able to tell when people are lying to you. And politicians are a great example. They make themselves a great example because we know that so often they are lying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to follow some patterns, there's a great learning tool right there.
Well, together we can provide. Look, but again, I want to caution people. It is a little bit of knowledge can be dangerous. So, for example, always there was a 2015 study done. You remember us talking about when somebody's trying to recall something, they'll look to the right and up, but if they're trying to formulate a story, it'll be the left and upwards. And okay, now a 2015 study debunked that. Now, okay, so is it true or is it not true? That's a little more difficult to answer because you have to establish the baseline for the person. And it would be very, or for example, you know, if someone is talking to you and they touch their nose, okay, well, they're being deceptive. No. Okay. In some cases, yes, but in other cases, no. There's nothing definitive about that, but there are certain things that are. Go ahead.
This is a good place to formulate the old saying, the exception versus the rule.
Right.
This is a great example of what we're going to talk about tonight. There's basically the rule, but there's always going to be the exception.
Correct. And I want to toss this out to the chat. RT, I know you know this, but so shh. the most honest part of the human body. First one in chat will win a cookie. Tell me, in anatomy, the most honest part of the human body, anatomically. Okay, let's see. Let me see. I'm 10 seconds behind in chat, so forgive me. Or don't forgive me. It doesn't matter. But this is going to be a great show. And I'm tapping from the best. And we're going to be pointing to where you can find out more, okay? Because there are certain people. Oh, I ain't saying that. Dangling participle, okay? Yeah, well, it's true. The eyes, not really face. No. Think lower. And no, not that. P-S-I-C-H-O. I don't even know. Psycho. There you go. No, not that. No, I'll tell you. Let's see. I'm going to give it about 5 more seconds. And then... Oh, the balloon knot. No, I'm not doing that either, Kenny. No. Although there's some truth to that. Rehoboth Farms. Sorry about that. The feet. You got it.
Yep.
Are you in law enforcement? Were you? Rehoboth Farms? Diaphragm? Yeah, but the feet. All right. So that's right. Well, watch. Look, I've been putting on X recently some behavioral analysis. I don't know. I'm going through a phase, apparently. I remember taking various courses and classes, interviews, interrogation, peaceful interviews, versus hostile. Let's see here. Liars. Let's see. Burn 007. There are two things that liars always do. One, answer a question with nobody ever asks. Yeah. Filibuster. Just watch Ted Cruz. Yes. Yes. Stated very succinctly. Okay. All right. Well, okay. With somebody said, explain LMZ123. I'm sorry if I read that wrong. I'm sorry. It's like a small printer. So, for example, watch the feet. If somebody's, if you're talking to somebody on the street, and RT, chime in here if you want. If you're talking to somebody on the street, and all of a sudden you see now that they're kind of putting their weight on the balls of their feet, one of two things is going to happen, is about ready to happen. They're about ready to come at you, or they're about ready to bolt. Okay. If you're sitting and talking to someone in an interview, and the feet, watch where the feet are pointed. If they're pointed toward the door, they want to get the hell out of there. And again, these are oversimplistic. I'm not by any means an expert at all. And that's a disclaimer. Not an expert. I am not certified to teach any of this. But 35 years in the field, by golly, I think I've seen enough. Will chronic liars react differently than occasional liars? Okay, then you get into psychopathy. Wow. Chronic liars can, and RT, you can chime in again. Chronic liars are people who have lied forever, mm-hmm. inherently, right? They've polished a lot of skills. So it's one thing to be called, it's one thing to like be called to testify in a trial and be put on the spot and then try to lie your way through testimony. That's one thing. And that's, I would say, by far, far more easily detectable through body cues and paralinguistic answers, the words, than a chronic liar like a politician. Okay. And I don't care what politician. They all lie. So, but the, what we want, here's the bottom line.
Or even a hustler. A hustler. Yeah. Some salespeople can just roll lies right off.
You know something?
Exactly. And I've been in the sales industry for a long time.
Yep.
And some of the things that guys would do, like we'd do a dual sales call or something, and just some of the stuff I'd hear, and I was like, man, if this guy can lie that easily, these people, do I even trust them? You know?
Well,
I mean, some of them are that good.
Yes.
It's hard to tell that they're lying. It really is. What trips up a lot of liars is they forget their lies.
And that's true.
Sometimes in the same conversation.
Yeah, very much so. And I'll tell you something. We saw a lot of that with Biden, mm-hmm. especially in the latter days. And now with Biden, for example, you've got to factor in the physical and mental, well, the mental impairments, the cognitive impairments. You've got to understand, of course, the impacts of like Parkinson's and dementia. Of course, you know, look, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what he's got, but I'll tell you what, he ain't right. Okay. It doesn't take a doctor to say he ain't right.
No, that car wasn't firing on all eight cylinders.
or eight or 12 in some cases. No, you're right. So, okay. But here's the goal for us. To leave you more equipped today than you were when you came in. Okay. So even if it's a little bit, maybe it'll serve you well in a conversation with your brother-in-law, with your son, with your daughter, with your mother-in-law, who knows, or with the person on the street, or just what, like RT said, watching the news. Just watch for a few of these things. It doesn't, like, it's not a big deal. Okay. But remember what we say. This is far deeper, because this will just point you in the right direction. Because, like I said, a little information can be dangerous, especially when you're wrong. And you can be wrong by making assumptions, by not really understanding the vastness of this behavioral science. And it's as much of an art as it is a science. Because, you know, when you're talking about micro expressions at 125th of a second, you've got to be really... You've got to train yourself to look for this stuff, right? So Okay. Right. So anyway, but I've been leaving tips on the on X, and but with a disclaimer. Look, I'm no expert, but
well, that and the things we'll discuss tonight, if that don't rely on any one thing. That's true. That's what's important. If you say, "Oh, well, he did this," he's lying. No, use four or five different methods. You know what I mean?
You've
because
got
like
to.
Like Doug said, you got to create a baseline. Everyone is different.
Everyone. That's right.
Everyone's different.
And you know, I follow, which we're about to see tonight, I follow these guys. It's what the heck is it? The Behavioral Analysis Panel. I think that's the name of it. Jeez, I pulled it up and okay, I'm not even sure.
BAP.
The Behavior Panel. Okay, and this is a YouTube channel. I highly recommend them. They're very collectively. There's Greg Hartley, Scott Rouse, Chase Hughes, and Mark Bowden. Now, I don't know any of these guys personally, but I can tell you this: their experience, combined experience, is off the charts. And also, in the courses I've taken, whether it be an FBI course or DOJ FBI / course, or the private courses like Reed Interview and Interrogation, or any other certifiable course, these people they know all of that. They're authors. They've written tons of books, and they're right on the money. So that's number one. Number two, and there are other plenty of good options out there for you to follow through, but the links will be in the program description box at HagmanPI.com. and the other part of this as well is I selected, and again, I didn't talk to RT about this, but I selected Biden. I was looking for behavioral, the example of behavioral cues, facial cues and tics and all that, as well as linguistics. And the only one I found that was really spot on and inclusive was the Behavior Panel. And this interview was done 11 months ago. So you're talking... And you've got to, when you listen to this and watch this, think about what happened July 13th, 2024 in Butler, Pennsylvania. Okay. This is something that, just think about what happened. Who knew about that? Did Biden know about the attempts? Prior to the attempted assassination of President Trump, what did Biden know? What about his? How about his handlers? How about the media? All of this can serve you well in daily life, but also, like Randy said, in the news as well as your own personal life. So we want to leave you better than, more informed tonight than you were before, but that's not all we're going to talk about, but that's a big part of it. So Randy Taylor, any other thoughts on this before we get right into it? And I do, by the way, I do have a couple of announcements I'm going to make here tonight because we have because we're all together tonight. I just want to make a couple of announcements, but anything before we get started, any other?
Well, an interesting person to look at too would be the Biden's press secretary, that was named Karine Jean Pierre, whatever, the little chick that looked like it. She had eyeballs painted on her eyelids.
Oh, yeah. KJP, yeah.
Gosh, she lied all the time.
We're KJP, yeah. Yeah. And Obama's a good one. But unfortunately, I couldn't find him because we're not certified to teach or to explain. I mean, we can discuss, but although we've taken various courses, classes, and forensic stuff. Go ahead.
The only thing I noticed with Obama was when he would lie, he would tilt his head. That's what I picked up. He would tilt his head and down to the left.
You know, the head movement is very interesting.
Other than that, he was stoic.
Right. There, the behavior panel did just recently, it did a piece on, I can't remember her first name, Dever, the police officer Dever, in the Karen Reed trial, her testimony. Now, if you follow Karen Reed trial, if you follow that happened in Massachusetts, resulted in the death of a Boston police officer. And Karen Reed allegedly was charged with second degree murder. And,
yeah, I saw that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Now, I follow that case. And the reason I follow that case is that is a microcosm of the entire U.S. justice system. Okay. You had, in my opinion and view, you had a completely compromised district attorney's office, a compromised police department. You had a compromised investigative body. You also had a compromised prosecutor, a compromised judge. And you had a woman who I don't like her. The defendant, I don't like her. I got my own reasons, but I just don't care for the woman. But I'll tell you what, not guilty is not guilty. And being framed is being framed, whether you like that person or not. Okay. So maybe we'll talk about that because
like and dislike, you got to pull out of it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. That could be so hard. That's why sometimes you have to remove yourself from something.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? Because you know going in, and if you're an honest person, you know going in that you're going to be tainted.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. I mean, we're all human.
You know. Yeah, yeah. And you know, removing bias is very difficult.
That's hard.
Yeah. And we're so trained. This is the other part of this. I think we are so trained to think in a certain way. Remember when I mentioned this earlier in the week, when there were only three news networks, CBS, NBC and ABC. And that's the way it is. And we were told that's the way it is. And isn't that an interesting phrase? And that's the way it is, by Walter Cronkite. And no, it wasn't the way it was. It was the way they wanted you to believe. And now this have a tool to see through that.
And today it's even worse. Now it's just far worse. And you are told what to think. You're told what's acceptable. You're told what the norm is. You know, you're told you can't say anything about this. You can't speak out about this. Canada's horrible about this. They're awful. The government is, you know, no, that's just not the way it is. You won't talk about it. And people that speak out against the government, they're, believe it or not, the RCMP showing up at their houses.
You know.
Yeah.
They're okay. Mm-hmm. This is something I guess we can play this now, because if you want to know the bigger picture of things, in the show notes, this is from actually the behavior panel, but there is one gentleman in particular who is very, 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 very well versed. And you can read about him. It would take the entire show to give his CV. And his experience, but I've got a lot of respect for the guy. But he, in one section, he goes through 7 points of psychological operations against a country. Now think about that. That's you and me. That's all of us, right? So, okay, now we're not only talking about things that you can look at that'll help you in your daily life, but we're also talking about what we're experiencing as a country, as a nation. And if Eric, if you don't mind, I highlighted source video one, and these are 7, and this guy knows what he's talking about. We'll revisit this later. These are 7 points of a psychological operation, and this was developed here by the U.S. or in played by the U.S. And RT, you've been a part of PSYOP, psychological operations. to a degree. I don't want to misrepresent you, right? But I mean, there have been times. So just learn to recognize when something is afoot, not literally afoot, but something is afoot to take down a government, take down a country, take down a nation.
Take down the population, mostly.
There you go. So I highlighted this. This is source video one. This is a part. I think I have this built within another cut. But listen to what this gentleman has to say, and we'll talk about it. It's only 2 minutes long, but he goes through the seven pillars of psychological operations against the nation. This is really important. This is cut one. Here it is.
I train the U.S. Army PSYOPs, psychological operations operators, and this has almost all seven hallmarks of a campaign to gradually loosen confidence in a leader before they're replaced. I'm just pointing that out. It actually has, just in the last 6 weeks, has followed every single one of the seven steps in perfect order except step seven. And they did the first six in order exactly following this checklist, and they are in and on, I would say, step six right now. And I wish I had time to go through the list, but it's a crazy list. I mean, actually, should I go through just a couple little bullets here? So step one, identify and exploit weaknesses. Two is manipulate public perception. So this is controlling it, usually social media, all that stuff. Three, create internal division. So this is just fostering discord in the leader's party among their peers, their supporters, all that kind of stuff. There's a big list of stuff that goes underneath that. But four is amplify social unrest, exploiting social issues and grievances, funding and organizing protests and strikes, civil disobedience, that kind of stuff. And that goes a pretty long distance. Five is discrediting achievements, undermining accomplishments by questioning legitimacy, impact, that kind of stuff. And then promoting alternatives is number six. So introduce and elevating potential successors who kind of align with this desired agenda. And this is what our government does in other countries, just so you know, and they're experts at it. So this involves like using the media and public platforms to showcase their strengths and vision, creating a narrative that the current leader is obsolete and there's a necessary change. And step seven, and you can see this in every time that we've done this in the last 70 years, is stage a crisis. So engineer some kind of crisis or magnify existing ones. So that's the alternative there. Create some kind of sense of urgency and panic. People that are, the lower you are on Maslow's pyramid, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the more suggestible you are, period. There is no exception to that. So the more you're worried about something happening in your life, the more suggestible you become, and then you get the message. That's how the U.S. does this in other countries, and I'm weird. It's a weird feeling to see it, all those steps happening in perfect order in this campaign, just in the last probably 12, 13 months.
So, Randy Taylor, and for those listening and watching, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a very important concept. It's a conceptualization of needs or objectives that motivate human behavior. And it was proposed by a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow. Now, think of it what you will, but it's extremely important, I think, to understand, because it is a component of the psychological operations being used against us, you and I, all of us. But it's also I'll just leave it right there. Okay, that was referenced there when you was talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Any thoughts on the 7 points that he mentioned? Interestingly, he was only going to go through a few, but he went through all seven. So, RT, any thoughts on that?
Not really. He knows what he's talking about, obviously, and what they're using on us. Yeah, everyone that he mentioned. I don't think he mentioned all seven, did he?
Boy, you know what? Now you're testing my observational skills.
No, I don't think he mentioned all seven. He said something about for time reasons he wasn't going to, but...
Yeah, but I think he did. It was very rapid.
Yeah.
Because each one, you could spend probably 2-3 hours on each one, at least, if not, you know, a whole day discussing that. But okay. If you want, we can run through that again. But
yeah, let's run that one more time.
All right. Folks, again, pay attention. And if you don't, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound bossy, but seriously, pay attention to this, because this is what we're seeing today. This is what we saw when Biden got off the debate stage. Okay. We've seen this, these objectives pretty much throughout our nation's history, and we're seeing them happen today. So, okay, we'll run this one more time. This is, again, from the source video titled Biden Interview, What Went Wrong? Body language. And this is from Behavior Panel. These guys, look, I don't have any, I don't know them personally, but I can tell you this, their CVs are beyond reproach. And I would trust them to evaluate any suspect. Anytime. And I don't even know their politics. Seriously, I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is apolitical anyway. So, okay, here it is. One more time.
The U.S. Army PSYOPs, psychological operations operators. And this has almost all seven hallmarks of a campaign to gradually loosen confidence in a leader before they're replaced. I'm just pointing that out. It actually has... just in the last 6 weeks has followed every single one of the seven steps in perfect order, except step seven. And they did the first six in order exactly following this checklist. And they are in and on, I would say, step six right now. And I wish I had time to go through the list, but it's a crazy list. Let me actually, should I go through just a couple little bullets here? So step one, identify and exploit weaknesses. Two is manipulate public perception. So this is controlling it, using social media, all that stuff. Three, create internal division. So this is just fostering discord in the leader's party among their peers, their supporters, all that kind of stuff. There's a big list of stuff that goes underneath that. But four is amplify social unrest, exploiting social issues and grievances, funding and organizing protests and strikes, civil disobedience, that kind of stuff. And that goes a pretty long distance. Five is discrediting achievements, undermining accomplishments by questioning legitimacy, impact, that kind of stuff. And then promoting alternatives is number six. So introduce and elevating potential successors who kind of align with this desired agenda. And this is what our government does in other countries, just so you know, and they're experts at it. So this involves like using the media and public platforms to showcase their strengths and vision, creating a narrative that the current leader is obsolete and there's a necessary change. And step seven, and you can see this in every time that we've done this in the last 70 years, is stage a crisis. So engineer some kind of crisis or magnify existing ones. So that's the alternative there. Create some kind of sense of urgency and panic. People that are, the lower you are on Maslow's pyramid, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the more suggestible you are, period. There is no exception to that. So the more you're worried about something happening in your life, the more suggestible you become, and then you get the message. That's how the U.S. does this in other countries, and I'm weird. It's a weird feeling to see it, all those steps happening in perfect order in this campaign, just in the last probably 12, 13 months.
So, RT, he did go through them.
Yeah.
So, one is identify and exploit weaknesses. Two is manage the perceived or public perception. Three is create internal division. Four is amplify social unrest. I find that interesting. Five is to discredit achievements. Six, promote alternatives or introduce potential successors. And seven is to stage a crisis or crises. And he mentioned again Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It goes from the bottom of the pyramid, the most basic physiological needs, fundamental needs, biological requirements for survival, all the way up to self-actualization. So, and everyone falls into one of those categories. If you take a pyramid and cut it like horizontally five ways, it goes from the most basic, the base of fundamental needs, to higher at the top of the pyramid, releasing one's full potential into having self-actualization and being fully possessive of your skills and needs. And so there's that, and everyone falls within that pyramid at some level. So the lower you are, the more suggestible you are, as he states, and I believe that to be the case. So
which seems to be the majority of the population.
Yeah, pretty much. So I just found that really interesting as we sit here today. And I hope this isn't boring. I really want people to be able to say, you know what, I've got questions about this, but understand why you've got questions about it, and being able to like after tonight's show, is say, okay, this makes more sense now. What we're seeing with all of the headlines and stuff. That's kind of our objective here. I mean, simple as that. Okay. All right. And I know.
So you're saying currently he was speaking. Currently, this is going on. Or was this getting rid of Biden and bringing in Harris?
Okay. When this assessment, this analysis was done.
That's what I'm curious.
It was 11 months ago. And this is post-debate, to the best of my ability in identifying the when this was done. Okay. Don't forget, you can upload anytime.
You mean when they realized that Biden was toast?
Right. I mean, again, post-debate, pre-assassination attempt, and then the basis of this was an interview. And we'll show you the parts of the interview with Biden. The only reason I selected Biden, number one, obviously, it's relevant, politically and historically relevant, but also it is really a good exemplar that you can actually see and hear, despite the obvious cognitive impairment. And even with that, I know so many people right now who are saying, you know, I think my sister or I think my so-and-so might have early onset dementia. Okay. This will also help you recognize that too. So, there's a lot of reasons why I selected this for tonight. But again, it's the truth factor. It's the helping us trying to throw out information that'll help you in everyday life that goes beyond politics, but incorporates politics. It goes beyond everything. Go ahead.
The most interesting thing I found with Biden is how his party turned on him, in my opinion, quickly.
Yeah.
First sign of trouble, in my opinion, they turned on him. And without even a single vote being cast, inserted Kamala Harris as the alternative.
Isn't that interesting too?
And you know, of all, just out of, you talk about out of the blue. That was amazing what they did, and then notice in Canada they followed suit
with Trudeau, right?
Turns around, brings in Carney out of the blue. Right. You might as well pick the guy up out of the parking lot, literally, because all of a sudden here's Carney. No, they said that, well, we voted inside our party. if you look at the people that voted inside the party, as it leaks out later,
right?
They weren't even qualified voters. They weren't. It was crap. And they inserted Carney. Carney was inserted.
Was it damage control or okay? So
no,
in Canada,
because he's just as bad. I just think that it gets to a certain point that they think, you know what, the people are right on the edge of revolt. Let's see if we can just change the face, much like they did with Bush and Obama. People were so pissed off at Bush. If you go back and remember, Doug, people were so pissed off at Bush by the end of his second term, Bozo the Clown could have been on the ticket and would have beat him. Stop and think about that.
Okay, then let me toss this question out to you. Okay, I'm going to ask you this question directly.
Okay.
So here we are with President Trump, and obviously the war drums are beating. You've got this divisiveness within the MAGA base about Israel, Iran, and all of this.
Yes.
Okay. Are we seeing like a Bush revolt 2.0 within the playing out? Is this being exacerbated on purpose by enemies of America embedded within our government?
That's a very, very grim possibility. Yes, there's enemies within the government. Yes, there are people that are trying to screw Trump, and foreign policy is one good way to do it. Yeah.
Okay. Because
and I've always stood by Israel. You know that.
Well,
let me explain that in a nutshell.
Yeah, I want to hear this.
I want to explain something.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I don't have the verse in front of me. Okay, but there was a verse very, very early in the Bible that God was very clear with Israel. I am your king. You are my people. End of story. Okay, he never reneged on that promise. He never went back and changed that. People come and say, "Oh, well, there's these kind of Jews and these kind of Jews." Forget all that. Israel, Jewish people. Also, though, please remember in the Old Testament that a good portion of the time, God was very angry with Israel for the things that they did. But they were always his people no matter what. They were his to chastise, not anyone else's. And that's what we have to keep in mind. No matter what, they're his children. And that's
so,
it.
So are you referring to Genesis 12? Let me just ask you this.
No, it's not that. It's a different one. It's in Exodus.
Okay, because Genesis 12 states, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you reference to Israel.
That's very good. But there's another one, and I've mentioned it before on the program. I don't want to look while I'm talking.
That's fine. That's fine.
But it's very, very clear. It's in Exodus, and it's very, very clear from God to Israel. And what I always keep in mind is Israel hasn't always behaved properly. Look at the Old Testament. Remember when Moses went up in the mountain, and when he came back down, they were all dancing around a golden calf.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he had them wandering around for 40 years in the wilderness. Think about that. 40 years, that was their punishment for wandering around. What did he also tell Moses? And this was his punishment. He wasn't going to enter the land of Canaan. Okay? So
yep.
People get mad at Israel, that's fine. They're still God's chosen people. That's it.
But
it's up to him.
Not the government of Israel, not the modern nation state of Israel, the Jewish people.
The Jewish people, Doug, I look at it as a whole.
Okay.
And what I say is myself is I look at they're in a bad time. They're doing against God's will right now. I really firmly believe that. But it's not my place. They're still, at the end of the day, they're God's chosen people.
The Jews of the Bible, not the synagogue of Satan. This could be a conversation.
It gets very convoluted.
Yeah.
However, I go back to that verse whenever I get in any doubt. I go back to that verse, and God was very clear.
Okay.
And he never changed that. He never rescinded that. He never altered that verse. So I just leave it at that. And I'm like, you know what? No matter what, God's will is going to be done.
Well,
and that's the faith that I have. That's what my belief is. Is Israel always right? Nope. Not by a long shot.
Not at all.
Not by a long shot. You know, and once again, Netanyahu might be the guy that built the golden calf. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
See what I'm saying? So Netanyahu, when he came down, when Moses came down from the mountain, maybe that was Netanyahu down there. I mean, you know, as far as I'm making an alignment here, I'm trying to an analogy.
Yeah.
And the 40 years in the wilderness, you know, many times, man, Israel made God very, very, very angry. And I think right now, God's a little angry.
I have no doubt about that.
You know what I'm saying? So, but at the same time, I back them because in my heart, I back them because I feel they're God's chosen people. And God hasn't laid it on my heart any differently. Hey, I may be dead wrong. People are going to get mad at me. I'm going to get nasty emails about this. That's fine.
And join the club. I mean,
yeah, but that's cool. I'm just saying how I feel. And I look at Israel doing things today, just like Israel did things in the Old Testament that made God fierce. You know, when God told them, you go and you fight this enemy and you kill every last person, man, woman, child, and the animals. And what did Israel do? Take prisoners.
And that, if I can interject this, a lot of that has to do with the DNA. Here's my belief, and again, I could be 100% wrong, but for an instruction like that, you're looking at the eradication of a DNA, of a lineage, of a DNA, corrupted DNA, which I suspect is happening again today in many different forms, but again, this is not about that. I really want to stay away from politics.
And we should, and that's a subject you and I have always tried to leave off the air.
Yeah,
because it created some hostilities, not between you and me ever, but other folks towards us.
Yeah, and frankly,
there's no point for that. Everybody needs to have their opinion. And I'm entitled to mine. You're entitled to yours. Eric's entitled to his. And every one of our listeners, by golly, you're entitled to your opinion. And I've had a lot of people, when I've stood by Israel, I get loaded with emails of people that thank me.
And I'm sure you get emails.
Surprising. I rarely get anything that says anything else, seriously.
Well, okay. And honestly,
that's cool. I'm not here. We're not here tonight for that.
No. However, we don't run from it, but that's not the topic tonight. So, and I asked chat, look, people in chat, okay, like I said last night, I think it was just stop it, okay? I mean, or amongst the not the base, but the, look, you have your opinions. Mm-hmm. I get it. But just,
at the end of the day, we're all in the same boat here.
Yeah, we are. Sadly. But you know, it's the boat was constructed of our own making. I mean, we made the boat that we were in today.
We allowed it to be made as a
correct. Yeah. Correct. Which, again, is something that that we have to really understand how we got here. Yeah. And to me, that's extremely important. Okay. Yeah. So when you're looking at people and you're trying to discern whether they're telling the truth, again, I turn to this, behavior, but of all of the different, body language, so-called experts out there, and being an expert is a legal term. Okay. A court will qualify you as an expert. You can say you're an expert and not be an expert. Okay. You might have
But I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, again, I want to be very careful. I'm not an expert. I've just but I do know enough through experience and through courses and through education and through having other people mentor me through this forensic discipline that I think I know enough to really comment on certain things. Now, this behavior panel, of course, collectively has just an incredible resume, and I highly recommend them. There are others out there, to me, not as good, but once in a while, they grab a nut, you know, like a chipmunk.
I'm going to look at this panel because just the gentleman that was speaking is very intelligent, and he's dead on. He is dead nuts on what he's talking about.
Now, okay, so again, the purpose tonight is to give everyone some ammunition or point them in the direction of gaining an arsenal to be able to navigate through the news, through watching other podcasters, to looking at politicians. And my rule of thumb with politicians is if you're in politics, you lie. Everyone in politics lies. So, however...
isn't that sad that that's a just like policy?
Yeah. Yeah. Sad. But again, to leave you tonight with a little bit more than you had coming in and a little bit without being boring, because I hate stuff that's boring anyway. So I saw this again. I was looking at or looking for the best possible example of showing you what to look for, you, the audience, what to look for. And then also kind of associate that with things, with current events. And I found this one with Biden. So it really melds everything together, I believe. And it's really a kind of a great exemplar. So this next cut, this is cut A. And, from the source video, and at HagmanPI.com, if you go there, you click on the headline or the headline, you click on the title for the show, only at HagmanPI.com, you will find the show notes. And again, all credit goes to this panel, and it's linked there. Follow them if you like. Now, they're on YouTube, a commie tube. I don't like that, but hey, it's... I guess this is what commie tube is for. It's for puppies and cats and behavioral analysis. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but okay. So this next cut A, it's a little longer, but I think it also establishes their legitimacy, but it also kind of lays a foundation for what you saw earlier. Okay. It lays a foundation. I think it's important. So this is cut A from video 5. Here it is.
We're going to break down and dissect the behavior of President Joe Biden during his interview with George Stephanopoulos. And Greg's picked out a few videos for us to watch. Greg, what do you got?
Yeah, quite simply, this is a 22-minute video that I pulled 7 clips from, tried to keep those very coherent, so you get a question and a response. And it might be one of the most meaningful things we've seen with Joe Biden in a while.
Mr. President, thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start with a debate. You and your team have said you had a bad night. But your friend Nancy Pelosi actually framed the question that I think is on the minds of millions of Americans. Was this a bad episode or the sign of a more serious condition?
It was a bad episode. No indication of any serious condition. I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing, and the bad nights.
You know, you say you were exhausted, and I know you've said that before as well, but you came, and you did have a tough month, but you came home from Europe about 11 or 12 days before the debate, spent 6 days in Camp David. Why wasn't that enough rest time, enough recovery time?
Because I was sick. I was feeling terrible. Matter of fact, the docs with me, I asked if they did a COVID test, because they were trying to figure out what was wrong. They did a test to see whether or not I had some infection, you know, a virus. I didn't. I just had a really bad cold.
And did you ever watch the debate afterwards?
I don't think I did, no.
Well, what I want to get at is, what were you experiencing as you were going through the debate? Did you know how badly it was going?
Yeah, look. The whole way I prepared. Nobody's fault, mine. Nobody's fault but mine. I prepared what I usually would do, sitting down, as I did come back with foreign leaders or the National Security Council, for explicit detail. And I realized about partway through that, you know, all the, I get quoted, the New York Times had me down at 10 points before the debate, 9 now or whatever the hell it is. The fact of the matter is that what I looked at is that he also lied 28 times. I couldn't, I mean, the way the debate ran, not my fault, no one else's fault.
All right, Greg, what do you got?
Yeah, this is an interesting one to watch, because I always have said there are two Joe Bidens. One is now look, and it's the televangelist shooting right down the screen. The other is a come on man. The come on man, the hands come up, and he's like, come on, you got to be kidding me. This is Joe Biden in the now look, but it's a diminished version of it. I'm going to start off by saying I'm no doctor. I'm no neurologist. I've been exposed to loved ones who have dementia and Parkinson's. My family, Parkinson's, is a lot of it there. Not saying he's got that, but I'm just going to say you can see people diminish, and you don't need to have a degree or be a body language person to be able to figure out when somebody's diminished. You know it. I've watched people age and lose capacity over time. And I would say I danced with the one that brung me. So I'm going to talk about his body language, his behavior, and deviations. We've been watching this guy for 50 years. We got a pretty good baseline of who he is. This is a diminished version of that now look, and you can see it. When we talk about baseline, you know, sometimes when you're looking for a baseline, it's difficult. It's, in this case, I think if you got kids and you're trying to teach them to look for this, there's a great book I just picked up. And this book is Body Language Animated by Jim Pyle. And if you know Jim, Jim is one of the best questioners in the business. And this will teach kids to look for what's normal and what's not normal. Or that person, not any of this crap about touching your nose means you're lying or any of that kind of stuff. So I think it's a good book. And if you got kids in your life, it's one that you should use to get them to understand what we mean when we say baseline. Now, when I say this is a diminished version, we know that Joe Biden does a few things.
Okay, what he was talking about with that book, I just want to say, in my view, in my personal opinion, when you teach young children this kind of subject matter, it will serve them throughout their lives. And the biggest threat to children, as you and I know, are adults who prey upon them. And this could help in their awareness of anything from their so-called friends to teachers to strangers to the people that they interact with. So I thought that was a rather novel idea. RT, any thoughts on that?
I absolutely agree. And it's good to teach your children this.
Yeah, I think so,
too. Because they're being lied to all the time.
Right.
And then you're not always there to go, oh, that was a lie. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, you got to prep them. You know, it's constant prepping. And I've got a daughter that's 16. You know,
and she's constant. Not. Can I say her latest achievement? Can I say that?
Yeah, why not?
She just got her driver's license.
Yes, she did.
And she's
excellent.
Out there racing in the hood. I'm kidding.
She's actually an excellent driver, just like her old man.
Which is really good. Now we have to put her through emergency driving.
That's next, but we've already been working on that, though.
Okay, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, because
I have taught her everything I can think of long before she even got her license. I mean, everything from when you're sitting at a stoplight at night, make sure you got a car length between you and the car in front of you.
Yep.
Because you got to get out every little thing, because I'm not going to be there to protect her all the time. And she's got to think like her daddy.
And that's what dads are for, man.
Yeah, amazingly she is. And I thank God for that. She's a smart kid. Her street smarts are really getting good. And her mom is sharp as a tack too. Don't think for a second she's not. She really is. So between mom and dad, that kid's got a lot of training, a lot of years we've managed to pack into that little head, and she's good. She's good.
And you know what? This, folks, this does not cost you anything. There's no pitch for any product or anything like that. Just that book, though, it doesn't hurt to grab it, to teach your children how to read others. And it's really teach them at a young age.
Yeah, and it's imperative.
Yeah. And it's not boring. I really, in my experience, they find it very, very interesting. So walk away with
especially this. Today with all the perversion and everything that's gotten way out of hand, you know, where they're grabbing these little girls off the street.
Yep.
Disappearing, you know, and we know that they're being sold into the sex trades. We know that. And it's happening in the U.S. It's happening in Canada. It's, you know, I mean, it's terrible that I have to teach my daughter how to use a knife. How to use a knife.
Yeah. A tire iron, whatever.
She's brutal with a weapon, with a firearm.
I wouldn't stand between her and a target.
Not that one. But it's just sad that I've got to teach her how to use a knife. Think about that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what has gone wrong in this world that I have to teach her how to either harm a person or kill a person in seconds with a knife? It's sad.
Precisely. So it's really close to the top of the hour. So I want to make this announcement, but hold that where that, because we're going to continue that, video, but I want to make this announcement, and RT and Eric the Tech obviously know about this, but not next week, but the week after I'm scheduled for surgery, and I'm going to have a couple of different surgeries to repair some issues or attempt to repair some issues. So not next week, but the week after, this show will be dark. Obviously, what happened to me in April, they found a lot of problems and they need to fix them or else, you know, permanent darkness for the show. So that I'll just say this. I want to let everyone know that I'm scheduled for two surgeries. One will be the week after next. As we get closer to that, I'll let you know what the schedule will be. But the week of June 30th will be dark. Then we'll, after the first one, we'll see what happens and we'll go from there. So I want to just say I appreciate everyone who is supportive of this platform. And I want to thank you for your wonderful, the cards, the notes that I've got. And I know that in, RT's trials, on behalf of him, you know, his physical challenges, you folks have been great. So
our audience is awesome, top notch. Really, as far as I'm concerned, helped pull me through it.
Amen to that.
I had people praying for me I didn't even know.
And you know, the prayers do make a difference. But I wanted at the top of the hour, I just wanted to kind of prepare because, again, I'll be down for about a week and then, but I'm not going to get into what's going on. But you know, it's serious enough where it's going to take the wind out of my sails for a week. And then I don't know, the second surgery, I don't know how when they're planning to do that. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
And everybody out there, please, please continue to pray for Doug.
Yeah.
If you're not praying for him, pray for him. Okay. And continue to please support the platform. Just because it's dark, the bills still come in. All right. Medical bills now. We got a lot of things going. Everybody's having a hard time right now. I know that. I absolutely know that. But I ask you to please continue to support this platform and support my friend.
Appreciate that. And, you know, by doing that, you support all of us. Thank you for that.
It makes us possible. Where else can you learn this kind of stuff?
On the back of, I don't know, out of the comic section of the New York Times. I don't know. But I'll tell you something. Thank you for that. Enough of that. I just wanted to mention that because it's a scheduling issue. And that really kind of screws everything up for pretty much everybody. So for that, I apologize. But hey, going to come back stronger, like my buddy RT there.
Yeah.
Back stronger and ready to fight.
Absolutely. You know. And it's actually timing's good. For you folks, is because it's around the 4th of July.
There you go.
You know what I mean? So look at the upside
here. Yeah, I'm going to be spending the 4th of July. never mind. I ain't going to be seeing fireworks. Well, maybe I will. Anyway, all right. So let's continue on with this. The other thing along with that, I'm doing my best prior to me going into surgery, book number three. I hope it'll be out by then, or at least almost out. There were a few issues I had to do with book three. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's going to be.
How does he find time to write books? That's what kills me.
Well, that's one of the, and you know, you look at something and then you think, wait a second, I can't really put this in there because two of these people are still alive. And then I contact an attorney and they say, oh, no, you gotta. So, you know, it's when you're running true about things that happened even 40 years ago. Mm. Holy crap, man. There's a lot of stuff that people can come and sue you for. And frankly, I don't need that. So
we changed the names to protect the innocent.
And the guilty.
And the guilty.
Especially the guilty. All right. So there's that. That's enough of that. Okay. So anyway, but I'm excited about this one. And I really appreciate you folks. Your interest in this, but this will wrap up. That book will wrap up the that whole time period from 87, 88, 89, and the book number four, which I pray will be able to come out, involves Russ and his team and a lot of the stuff I experienced there. But anyway, all right. So having said all of that, let's get back to the topic at hand. Let's continue that video clip. Remember, this is about Biden. Taking you back. This is about Joe Biden, the interview, what went wrong, body language. And in this particular section, they do talk about the cognitive impairments. These four gentlemen, I'd love to buy them a cup of coffee and at least have spend an hour with each one because they're fantastic. Go ahead.
Did it seem like Biden was over explaining?
You know, I think that might come up.
Okay. Because when he asked about him being sick, I mean, he did everything except a rash in his genitals. You know what I mean? That's something he didn't tell us about.
There is. I think there's a segment in there. I'm not sure if I grabbed it or not, but he answered the question, like you said, too much information or unnecessary information.
Yeah,
you've got to watch that. Okay, because. When he was questioned about Tara Reid, maybe this was a different interview a longer time ago. When he was questioned about Tara Reid, he had a negative and then a negative canned response and then his own response. It was like, I didn't do it. And then, no, that never happened. I didn't do it. So, yeah, deception indicators, man, it's crazy. So. But
he's a vault of examples.
I'll tell you what, you could do a masterclass on this guy. And you know, we talk about baselines because when you look at a person, it's good to have, it's beneficial to have a baseline, but sometimes you're not afforded that luxury. But if it's your teenager or if your grandson, your son, whatever, daughter, co-worker, you probably have established a baseline. So with him, the baseline has been established. So because of 50 years of politics, right? And it's easier. It's an easier exemplar. So we'll continue. Go ahead and pick up where you left off, Eric the Tech. Thank you much, Lee.
That person, not any of this crap about touching your nose means you're lying or any of that kind of stuff. So I think it's a good book. And if you got kids in your life, it's one that you should use to get them to understand what we mean when we say baseline. Now, when I say this is a diminished version, we know that Joe Biden does a few things. That smile is what I would call a multi-use tool, kind of a Swiss Army knife. So he uses it when he's confused to delay. He uses it when he has no ready response to delay. When he scores a point with somebody, he uses his teeth that same way, that smile. So it's a pause tool for him. This guy's been in, like I said, he's been in politics since the third quarter of the 20th century. So we got a lot of stuff. He shows engagement of these muscles at the center of the eyes. And that shows concern whenever he's saying it was a bad night. And he's got this little arch. Mark, you're going to talk about it, I'm sure. But when you're talking to a guy who has diminished, what you're probably going to do best is give him short, canned responses. Nothing rambling. And he does that when he does a really good job of saying, I had a bad night. It's an anchor place for him to come back. We're going to see a lot of people who say, because he's looking off to his right, that he's got a deep embed earpiece. I don't think that's what it is. I think he's going to his recall for what was said to him, because we see it at key times. And if you've ever had an earpiece in your ear and you're talking and hearing something at the same time, you got to be pretty sharp to stay on top of that. And I don't think that's who the guy is. We can see that he's prepared when he does that. Now look, and he brings both hands up. And you can see that he starts to ramble, and then he goes back to pick those hands up and say, Trump lied 28 times. That's prepared information, short, canned things. We saw this very thing when he did State of the Union. It was strung together, a whole bunch of things he does well, and those neural pathways are still alive. Scott, what do you got?
All right. Well, he looks a lot different now than he did in his during the debate. He looks a little bit different. I think he's rested, so that's a big part of it. But his face looks a little more puffy to me. Looks a little full compared to what he looked like before. His blank stare is still there, not the whole time though, and he's moving very stiff. His illustrators are stiff. When he's moving around, it's kind of stiff. There's nothing smooth about this at all. And then he's holding the pen. So I don't know what the story is on that. It's probably to help him not fidget around as much or give him something to do. So if he starts fidgeting around, and the first words with that first answer, things are kind of smushed together. He kind of rushes that, and they sound kind of not stuck together, but smushed together. And then after George says 11 to 12 days before the debate, that you spent 6 days. And then if you look really closely at the left side of his mouth, some spit rolls out right there. Now, quite often when you're dealing with someone that has dementia or especially Parkinson's, they'll take a cholinesterase inhibitor. And that's one of the things that is the side effects of that are you drool a little bit. And we'll see it a couple of times in here as we go through. Another thing is his illustrators, when he does illustrate, they're really small, except when he does the big regulators, when he's like Greg's talking about, when he starts going to something that he's already prepared for and he's got already loaded in the chamber and ready to go, then he'll start getting his illustrators up really big. But the largest thing we see as we go through this, his biggest movements at all come in those regulators where he's trying to say, that's not why, it's my fault, those kind of things. So let's pay attention.
Okay, and I purposely had it cut there. It's interesting because of the mention of the earpiece. How many people thought or expressed that they thought that he was being fed information through an earpiece? Basically, what they were saying is the guy wouldn't be capable of having an earpiece while he was being interviewed, and they wouldn't trust him with one. And the biggest question about this, and you're going to hear this in a little bit, is, if it wasn't him, if it's not him making the decisions, someone is propping him up and sending him out with the information. Who are his handlers? And that is important for the American people to know, because the very same handlers of Biden are the very same people who are trying to get us into war, who are trying to take down the U.S., and who have infiltrated every part of government. Go ahead, sir.
Does name Obama sound familiar?
There you go. There you go.
He was handling Biden more than people think. You got to understand, he was running a sub-government through the White House.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn what anybody says. Obama was running Biden. That was Biden's handler.
So
one of them anyway.
Okay, about that, and let's spend a moment talking about Obama. Obama is a CIA construct, right? I mean, can we agree about that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From
right out of the CIA petri dish.
You can almost take that literally. Mm-hmm. When you go back his time in Hawaii, and then, of course, his
total manufactured pass. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
It's front to back on this guy. And still working for him. Still.
Absolutely.
Still.
His code name was Renegade, or is Renegade. That's a CIA name as well, according to multiple sources.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, his comments about, well, I could be in the basement, you know, my basement with a, you know, in a tracksuit and give me a microphone and earpiece and someone else and I could run the world or a third term, whatever the case. But that's, don't dismiss that, folks. But who's running Obama?
He did. Yeah, but he did run a third term.
Yeah, he did. But
realistically,
again,
and who's running him? Yeah,
that's, and to me, that's a big question, because
I could see a few fingerprints there. Brennan, several globalists.
Yep.
There's I guarantee the Rothschilds are involved in this.
100%.
It's a crazy list. That Aga Khan, the one that just died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was one of them. There's an amazing, that World Economic Forum.
Well, I find it interesting, too, because I mentioned this week, Virginia Giuffre, who committed suicide, or no, Virginia Giuffre, who was a victim at Epstein Island, who reportedly, allegedly committed suicide, supposedly left an audio tape that identified Obama and Bill Gates as boy lovers at Epstein Island. So if that is true, and let's just for a moment, hypothetically speaking, that's true, then obviously Obama is compromised to the extent that whoever, I mean,
Everybody says Mossad was running Epstein. Okay,
which
the globalist, that round table there of the, and not even the ones that we necessarily see. Okay, the ones that are actually running things, trust me, they had their fingers in Epstein Island.
Yeah,
and this Epstein list. I want to say something real quick on that. This Epstein list. If somebody went to Epstein Island, I don't necessarily think they were a bad person, because anybody could have went down there thinking they were going to play golf with Tom Hanks or something. You don't know what was used to get them to Epstein Island. The point is, things were offered to them at Epstein Island, and they either took it or they didn't. If they took it, they were then compromised, because there was video everywhere. If they didn't take it, then guess what? Someone would try and invite them again. Either they went or they didn't. So let's just say that Donald Trump's name was on the list and he went down there one time. To me, that does not make him guilty. Anybody could be on that list one time. But if you went down there and they were offering you little boys and stuff like that, then I would give Epstein Island a wide berth. You know what I mean? You could probably trick me. Well, maybe not me. Trick most people into going down the first time. It depends on your behavior while you were there.
That's right.
That's what makes the list to me. And I've always thought that when the things we saw out of the White House, Pizzagate and all that, I am convinced that Obama is involved in child trafficking.
As are the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation.
That actor, I can't think of his name. He was in the. He kept showing up in the Podesta emails. The guy
Clooney, Spacey.
He played the accountant.
I don't even know.
He has a younger brother. I can't think of it. I can't think of the guy's name right now. Ben Affleck.
Okay.
That one. His name showed up in too many emails for me.
And the emails are out. The Clinton emails, the Wikipedia stuff. And you can actually piece together. You don't even need a list, a client list right now, because it exists, but you have to piece it together from different sources. And to me, that makes the list. And you look, folks, you already know. I mean,
and $50,000 in pizza at the White House. And, you know, I mean, just
$65,000 hot dogs. Yeah.
Yeah, little clues here and there. You got to put those pieces together. And I guess it just bothers me that we have this small, in my opinion, a small group of people destroying everything we've ever worked for. And we're taking shit off of these people. I don't get it.
Well, again, in a kind of, if you squint and look at the hierarchy of needs that we talked about, you know, the majority of people are in that mm-hmm. lower category. So yeah. they're struggling to survive as opposed to paying attention like the audience to this show yeah. and the seekers of truth elsewhere. And I appreciate those people immensely. And not to disparage anyone else, but I appreciate the people who are trying to get to the truth of the matter. And that's why I think this is so important. But by the way, I'm going to toss up seven universal tells now that I think are important when you're dealing with people. When you see different emotions or facial expressions, for example, when you see somebody whose eyebrows or the brow line is lowered and their lips are very tight, that's reflective of anger. Okay. That represents a really high threat level to you if you're talking to that person. So again, the emotion being anger, the lowering of the brows or the eyebrow line and the pursing of the lips or lips being tight. The fear is another example. The upper eyelids are raised, your mouth or their mouth, stretches. Again, you've got these are very broad brush stroked descriptions, but they're nonetheless accurate. That, of course, represents a situation that you're going to have to evaluate the threat level based on other factors as well. Disgust is easily recognized with a nose wrinkle and upper lip curl. Surprise, of course, the brows will be raised and the eyes are open and the jaw might drop and so on. And there's happiness, true happiness. It's interesting when you look at a person who's smiling. A genuine smile impacts the entire face. You're going to have the crow's feet kind of effect along the eyes. If you see a smile without the eyes involved, you know that's not a genuine smile.
And almost a good smile almost make the eyes disappear.
Just about. And same with happiness too. The crow's feet in the eyes and the cheeks are raised, and it's a full face smile. It's very difficult to fake.
Yeah, not the gritted teeth smile.
Yeah. The happy to see a, you know, it's good to see a mother-in-law yeah. kind of thing. True sadness is reflected, of course, by the again, watch the brow line, inner brow lift, along with a lip corners coming down, kind of like, I can't even do it. And then, of course, one of the more dangerous, potentially dangerous tells would be contempt. And that the face shows contempt through a one-sided smirk, generally speaking. And it's probably one of the most deceptive facial tells ever. So just keep those in mind. Let's go to cut B. And cut B is a continuation of this particular thing. And folks, if you like this topic, great. If you don't like it, it's okay. But I think this, hopefully this will serve you. Right. This will leave you, again, you don't have to buy anything. This is just trying to help you navigate through the crap that's out there. And, you know, that's the way it is.
And there's plenty of it.
Amen to that. This is about 3.5 minute clip here. Cut B from Source Video 5. Here it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what interests me about this is none of us here can really say whether he has dementia. And you sitting there, you can't say whether he has dementia. Only a doctor examining with a specialization would be able to do that. But it doesn't really matter, because the thing is that his only job here is to convince us in whatever way that he is fit to govern. That was his job back at that debate, to prove that he's fit to govern, to give no reason why we might go, you know what, I'm unsure. unsure, because all of us, really, the voters, and if you can vote out there, you're a layperson. You're on the whole not going to be a specialist. So all we need is just enough information to go, you know what? I'm feeling comfortable about this. It's all right. It's going to be okay. So that's his job there. And it's the job of his team around him, the communication team, of which I've been part of for other presidents, other prime ministers, other leaders. It's their job to set him up in the right place to do that job for people. Let's see how he does. Well, first of all, his breathing rate is up quite high. Just breathe along with him. Watch it and breathe along. And you sitting there, comfortable and calm like him, and breathing at that rate, how are you feeling? Does that feel calm to you? And if he is calm, why does it have that accelerated rate? What might be happening in his mind or his body in order to create that accelerated rate? For that breathing rate as well, he's also what I would call devoiced. There's not a lot of air passing across his vocal cords. Now, we know he can be really quite ranty, quite shouty, and does it actually quite well. We've seen him out doing stump speeches in front of big audiences, and he's got a lot of volume. But in this place right now, his breathing rate is high and not very much of it is getting across his vocal cords. So he seems stressed and his voice seems devoiced and weak. Now, why is that? I'm not going to speculate why that is, but it isn't the look that he should be going for right now to convince us he's fit to govern. Here's what he said. There's a question there. Did you ever watch the debate afterwards? Clear question. Did you ever watch the debate afterwards? Here's his answer. I don't think I did. No. I don't think I did. No. Well, if you're trying to convince us, I don't know why he says, I don't think I did. I would hope that you would know if you've watched it or you didn't watch it, and you'd be able to say, yes, I watched it, or no, I didn't watch it. But to say, I don't think I did, no, doesn't give you the right optic when you're trying to convince a public that you are fit to govern. If you can't remember that, then that's got to be an issue. Now, maybe he can remember it and he doesn't want to say so. He's going to be inaccurate about that. But you're going to need to be accurate or inaccurate. You're going to have to give a forceful answer, because the whole world is watching you going, are you fit to govern or not? And already in the first few frames of this, it's not the right look. It's not the look he should be going for.
So I would bet that he and Jill watched it later that night or the next day, so that she could warn him on the stupid things he did in that interview. I don't think I watched the debate. The guy's absolutely right. That's not the answer you're looking for out of your president. I don't think I watched it. You know you watched it.
It was an extremely weak response, but
horrible.
Yeah, whoever coached him, he's like a dog off the mad dog off the leash, mm-hmm. that needs to be controlled. So that goes to the control of, I mean, who is controlling him? Now, to be true. Okay, so there's a couple more cuts in there, folks. I would urge you to watch the entire assessment of this, because we could spend, I'm looking at the clock, we can spend a lot of time on this, but for the true science and art of looking at people, I found this to be perhaps one of the most compelling. Eric the Tech, I just sent this to you. When you're looking at someone where there's no baseline established, and you're looking at someone to see if they're telling the truth, I found this to be one of the best examples right now. And this has to do with, the Karen Reed trial, which is a microcosm of the justice system in the U.S. or legal system in the U.S. This is a Boston cop who's testifying, and she should never play poker, because that's how in your face this is, the tells. And you know, when you're talking with someone relatively close, You can see, or even when you're watching the news of an interview, like with Biden, depending how close the camera is, you can actually see the heart rate increase through the carotid. You can see, for example, if they're wearing a necklace, the respirations increase. And respirations from the diaphragm are true when there's a flight or fight response to a question. The respirations become more shallow and more frequent, and that's reflected by maybe watching a pendant go up and down on one's chest. So keep that in mind. Okay, you getting bored yet? You getting bored yet?
No, think about this. A lot of this stuff Doug's talking about is, if you've worked around intelligence and things like that, you become a good liar.
You can become a trained liar. I mean, yeah,
absolutely a trained liar. I guarantee with most people, I can lie to them and they will not know that I'm lying.
And a lot of times with you and even with me, that depended on our survival.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kept us alive.
Yeah. Because,
you know, especially if you're working undercover and and when somebody asks you a question, you need to be able to pop off an answer without thinking about it.
That's 100%.
It needs to be absolute instinct roll, and there's none of this rolling your eyes or, you know, all of these things. You've got to get under control or you're busted.
100%.
Your cover is blown.
Yep, exactly.
And the people that you're generally working undercover against will kill you.
That
I'm going to leave that alone. But Doug, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know the stats on this. Anyone who's ever worn a wire or gone undercover,
work for the government undercover, anything, you go for a detective agency undercover.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Being a convincing liar or being able to convince a person or people, whatever the case might be, your life depends on that. You know,
I had friends that were cops and they were trying to bust a dealer, and I'm not going to say where they were trying to bust a dealer. Couldn't get a guy in the house. Couldn't get a guy in the house. I did it on a bet. I went in and bought several hundred dollars worth of cocaine. On a bet.
Now, did it all make it back to the evidence room or not?
Every bit.
Okay, I'm joking.
And when I came walking out of there, I had the biggest grin on my face because they had been trying for years to get a guy in the house. And this guy had never seen me before in his life. I even showed up wearing a Hawaiian shirt looking like a CIA guy. And the dude,
Miami Vice kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He opened the door.
Yeah.
All I did was a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
And the dude let me in and sold me the dope.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's when you're at that level. But
I did it as a favor and as a bet, but it was a favor to them because they couldn't get a guy in the house.
Ah, man, I'll tell you what, I've gone through a number of pair of underwear. But I'm serious. I'm sure some people in the chat have gone through that very thing.
And when you're wearing a wire too, you walk in, and all the things when you're walking up to the door are, geez, I know this thing's sticking out somewhere.
I had that happen to me under my collar. The wire ran under my collar. And I happened to be walking next to a store window. I looked and I could see the thing, and it's like, holy crap, you know, another block, I'd be dead. So I had to go back to the surveillance van with the FBI agent there. I said, hey, try to get me killed? What you?
You better go with what your gut tells you to.
Oh, man. Nope. So, yeah. So I've been there. We've both been there and done that. So we know what we're talking about. So anyway, Eric Tech, I just sent you. Rapidly moving on, because I just want to show you folks, we want to show you things that are pretty obvious. And you can go with Biden. Watch the entire the entire video. This next is from the Karen Reed trial. I know you folks say shut up about that.
No, but, no, this is interesting.
But to me, okay, there, again, being a microcosm of the larger problems that we face, when you have someone on the stand and it's their emotions are so obvious and the ability to, I mean, the tells are right there. So this is a better example, perhaps, of normal interaction. And by normal, I'm talking about normal people as opposed to a politician. Not normal in the sense of normalcy. But anyway, here's, if you can start this at 24, and this link will be in the program description box as well. Let's see here, 24 minutes and I'll say 37 seconds. This is a police officer, Boston police officer being, I think this is a cross-examination. And it's got all of the favorites, all of the good stuff in this, all of the good tells, all of the good commentary. Quite frankly, she's a bitch, in my view, my opinion. So I'm allowed to say that. 24:37-ish. Go ahead and hit that. And she, by the way, she's deceptive.
That's a good time, man.
By the way, you indicated on under questioning by Mr. Brennan that you knew what they wanted from me, meaning the defense. What they wanted from me.
Yes.
Say that?
Yes.
Do you remember on that phone call that we read correctly from the exact same report that I just read from? You remember that?
And I told you the same thing then.
That's not my question.
Objection.
Sustained.
My question is, just answer my question, Officer Deaver. Did we read to you, were you read the exact same thing that I just read to you on that phone call?
Like, you can't remember my name. I don't remember.
I can remember your name, Miss Deborah.
Okay, so the answer is I don't remember. No comments.
More than that, Judge. No. I think we all...
All right, so no comments, just questions, please.
Man, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you recall us telling you that we were looking for the truth about your...
Objection.
...comments?
I'm going to allow it.
But we're looking for the truth.
Which I gave you, yes.
Did you also say on that phone call something to the effect of, I know you're going to tear me a new one because I'm changing my testimony?
Changing, no. But you're trying to do that.
Did you say, I know you're going to tear me a new one?
But you're trying to do, so yes.
Actually, what you said was, you're going to tear me a new asshole, didn't you?
I don't recall that, so that's putting words in my mouth.
I'm not asking you to put words in your mouth. I'm asking you if you remember saying that during that phone call. Oh, I know you're going to tear me a new asshole.
I don't recall.
Okay. But you do remember saying something to the effect of, I know you're going to tear me a new one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Greg, what do you got?
Yeah, so here's more confrontational body language. She's back to that resting face, the resting intake face is very stoic, which is powerful when you're talking to somebody. Again, she's not leaking when you're listening to know whether you're getting to or not. You have to work harder. That's good news. I think she uses eye contact as a regulator in this one case, whether that's – I think it's the prosecutor who objects. I'm sure it's prosecutor. Watch her look. Either he's demonstrative or she knows this is going to be an objection for some reason, because watch her. She stops, pauses a beat before she answers a question, looks at him, then turns back and answers when he asks the second time. So either something's going on or she just is a good read of people. Can't tell. There's a sarcastic smile as she gets into where they're asking her, did you do this? Did you do that? And she says, well, yeah. She avoids the question the first time, and then she's got a sarcastic smile. Sarcasm looks like the sides of the mouth are wanting to smile. It's mutated. I mean, it's muted, controlled, and the brow is down. Usually when we smile, we're not pushing our brows down when we smile. If somebody smiles at you, and puts her brows down, it looks awkward. I used to call it the mother-in-law smile. You know, it's one of those kind of things where somebody doesn't really like you, but they're pretending to and being polite. That is what we're seeing here. And then we see, finally, we see condemning disapproval when she's forced to say yes at the end of the statement. She's got her lips drawn back. She's sarcastic. There's no positive to this. I think this is a confrontational relationship, and she's clearly okay with being in it. We'll see some change as things occur, but right here, she looks quite all right. Mark, what do you got?
Yeah, so she's very affirmative at the end with that yes. Head goes directly to that delivery state right at the end there. But in between that, she spent a lot of time in the center there, I think, trying to get the measure of where he's going with this, what his attack is. She knows it's an attack, but trying to get the sense of where it is. She doesn't necessarily go into listening position on very much of this. I think she has an idea of, okay, I'm being attacked here. This is being aggressive. I need to get the measure of what's going on here. But her delivery of the affirmative yes at the end of this is very strong. Seems very honest to me what's going on here. There's a lot of kind of covert but honesty around the aggression and the attack. But when her answers are affirmative, they are strongly affirmative. Chase, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, I definitely agree. She's trying to look calm here. We have the head tilt, slower blink rate here, which is how often we blink. We hear a pretty neutral tone. But if you know what to look for, all of this falls apart really fast. On top of what Mark just said, her breathing rate gives her away instantly. It's really high, it's shallow, and it's happening in her chest instead of the diaphragm and belly area. That is a huge stress signal. And this is, other things that we're seeing here are learned behaviors. And cops very often develop a lot of these calm masks, especially if they've worked patrol for a while. Slow blinks, controlled tone, deliberate stillness. But when the pressure hits, that mask cracks a little bit, and we're seeing that. So when the attorney asks if she wants the truth, she fires back with that something to the effect, I've given you the truth. On the surface, that sounds composed. But look at what happens next. Her upper body shifts suddenly. There's movement, small, fast, unconscious movement. Her blink rate jumps up to about 60 per minute. Again, she's fidgeting under the table, and it's okay, visible in the way that her...
RT, go ahead and because that there was so much to that clip. Go ahead and
I was getting ready to say, now that he said that, we should go back and look at that clip again.
All right. And
if that's possible.
Yeah, I'm sure if you can, Eric the Tech, if you don't mind.
Because he really laid that. These guys have really, really went in further than I even really, what I saw.
Right. And just to be clear, everyone.
These guys are sharp.
And they don't, they're not into the trial necessarily. They're into the behavior of this particular witness and other witnesses, I think. But this is perhaps one of the most blatant examples of deception. And this Boston cop was caught in a perjury situation. That's the backstory. She changed her testimony.
These guys would be hard to lie to.
Oh. And folks, look, again, I thank the behavior panel for allowing us to use this. Follow them on YouTube and watch the entire clip, and because you will be amazed at what you will learn. We're just trying to give you a little bit, a little taste of what you can do as a person out there dealing with every other person, as well
and
as
it's, and
news.
It's the defense questioning her, right? And the prosecutor is
correct
and trying to help her out,
right? And that's an important fact, because I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that she was the defense. I think she was a hostile witness, or classified as a hostile witness, which is important because the questioning is different when you have a hostile witness designation. So, but she was caught in a perjury. She was caught committing perjury, where it was a big deal. Let me just say that. And now she's walking it back because she misremembered, or her memory. It was a false memory, she said. Oh. Okay. Oh, my goodness. But it's got all of the elements that you folks, everyone, can look for. And it excites me because, man, it's like it's all there in one video clip, like you said.
And they brought out what I didn't even catch. So let's watch.
Yeah, the blink rate. That's something I didn't even talk. We didn't talk about the blink rate. Yep. Normal blink rates, I think, are from like 12 to 20 per minute. When you're up to 50, 60, holy crap. Okay. You know, you're going to flap yourself away. Go ahead and rerun that.
Under questioning by Mr. Brennan, that you knew what they wanted from me, meaning the defense, what they wanted from me.
Yes. Yes.
Do you remember on that phone call that we read directly from the exact same report that I just read from? Remember that?
And I told you the same thing then.
That's not my question.
Objection.
Sustained.
My question is, just answer my question, Officer Deaver. Did we read to you, were you read the exact same thing that I just read to you on that phone call?
Like, you can't remember my name. I don't remember.
I can remember your name, Miss Deaver.
Okay, so the answer is I don't remember. No comments.
More than that, Judge. No. I think we all...
All right, so no comments, just questions, please.
Got her. Yeah, that blink rate was off the charts.
Oh, yeah. And the analysis is phenomenal. Again, I would urge you to watch really all of their content. If we're looking, folks, we're looking at an age of deception. Randy Taylor and I, you folks, we're all looking at people who are attempting to deceive us. And this goes back to what I said earlier. And hopefully this will be the last time I say this. There are people out there, influencers, podcasters who, are going to be lying to you now more than they have in the past. Why? Because it's a money game to them.
Yeah, there's money. There's been an example of that here recently that caught a lot of people off guard.
And I think that we have to use our own discernment. And part of that discernment does come through knowing what to look for. But the other part, I mean, in that example, there are far more obvious sets of circumstances. Just follow the money. Who's paying these podcasters? Who's paying these influencers? If they have a million, half a million followers on X, there's a reason for that. Is it because they organically just... No. It's nothing organic about it. They're being propped up, promoted, and undergirded by...
And lots of money being dumped into them.
That's exactly right. Because when... collectively between Randy Taylor and myself, we can't get over 50,000. When before organically we had developed a quarter of a million followers, now we're in it, you know, can't get over 50,000. Mm-hmm. When other people who haven't, I mean, who just arrived on the scene more recently than us,
it's crazy. You know,
Yeah. And look, I do factor in the account that a lot of people don't like us, and that's okay. A lot of people don't like me. I don't care. But still, you can see the disingenuous aspect of the followers versus everything else. Okay. So,
and like X is really such a crap example of any kind of quality because. Yeah, I don't know if anybody noticed this, but any girl that had big boobs and put MAGA in her profile,
oh yeah,
got loaded with followers. And there isn't MAGA anything in their profile. You go down and look; they don't ever post anything to do with the Republican Party politics or seriously. And you look at it, and you're like, guys, you know, people are that shallow.
Where it's automated now through the use of AI, there's a lot of automated bots. Content.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's so the disingenuousness that we're seeing today is to me is perhaps one of the most dangerous elements working against all of us who are seeking the truth.
And one good thing, folks, and remember this, just the fact that you're listening to this program moves you up in that pyramid that Doug was talking about.
That, there you go.
Okay.
Very much.
Because you're not down here in the masses that are, you know, sitting there being programmed by CNN 24 hours a day, MSNBC 24 hours a day. And you questioned already. You're already a patriot. If you're a patriot, a true patriot, you are questioning. And just by virtue of being here with us tonight, you're already off that bottom level.
And that is
huge.
Exactly. And we're not trying to say that we're all that, but, you know, I think people in chat, you can weigh in on this.
We're not cattle. I guess what I'm saying is we're not sheep.
We're not sheep. Yeah. And I think people can, in the large part, if you're paying attention, you can tell who's genuine and who isn't. Right. I mean, pretty much, but then to hone those skills to me is extremely important to really see the depth of the lies, the depth of the deception, and that'll help you immensely. And folks, again, it doesn't cost anything to learn this. And I'd be interested in the comment section at Rumble to hear did this episode. Did it strike anything with you, or did it fall flat? You know, I'm just curious.
And I always notice the left has trouble with words like God.
Oh, yeah.
Patriotism. You know, just some of the things that are the basic premise of who we are.
Yeah.
And the audience to hear that we're talking to, you know, there's a big difference. And those people at the bottom, they are sheep. And they're being led astray. And that's one of the reasons we're here.
And, you know, you can see that, too. Now, the pejoratives being used, especially today, boomers, okay?
Yeah.
Look, I wear that label proudly. I'm a boomer. And that, of course, is a reference to a specific age group. And but you know, with age comes wisdom, or should come wisdom, right? A lot of people don't possess that, and you can tell, like you mentioned, with respect to the bottom part of that hierarchy of needs, where there are people out there protesting who are boomers, and you can tell that they've done nothing but watch MSNBC, CNN, and are just, if somebody would tell them to basically jump off the bridge, they'd do it, you know, because they're that controlled, mind control part of this.
And this mind control has been going on for a long time. This is not like it's a new novel concept. As soon as I think it went in full gear, as soon as they went to the 24-hour news cycle, that's when I think they really kicked it up a notch.
And Ted Turner bragged about that, too. Back, if you pull clips, video clips from the mid-80s when CNN came into existence, you could tell he was talking about, well, we have to he made it almost sound like a gift to the American people, where he was providing the news, when in fact he was also boasting about programming the American people.
Huge propaganda arm of some faction of our government.
That's right. So to me, this, you know, we talk about preps. You talk about, you know, putting 6 feet of concrete in your basement or no. OK, I think one of the more fundamental aspects of preparation is knowing who's blowing smoke up your butt and who's not.
Yeah. And who you align yourself with.
Right. And that is not some sort of clarion call for, you know, hey, follow us or listen. No, we just want you folks to be able to tell. And 90% of our audience, I think, can already, but it's that 10% to refine.
And I certainly hope we've earned your trust. That's one of the main things coming on this program. I always want to feel that we earned your trust.
Yeah. And,
you know, you'd follow us into battle.
And the last thing I want to say about all of this is when you look at the interview, and again, the links will be at HagmanPI.com in the program description guide or program description box. But, you know, think about what happened in Butler. And when you watch, for example, the Biden video of behavioral analysis, what did he know? back then, even if he was half vegetable, there are things that kind of come out that, and remember the seven concert, or the 7 points of essentially regime change. And think about that in the context of Butler. Think about that in the context of Florida. Think about that even today as the base is being fractured. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, absolutely. He's absolutely, Doug, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. I'll always wonder what Biden actually knew. What all of them knew.
Yeah, and when there's we say so Biden, many, it's the so Biden many,
yeah, the administration. Yeah. The entire administration. Yeah. And it goes back, and I think a lot of the people that were trying to overthrow Trump and overthrow a sitting president in his first term, I think were involved in knowing about Butler, or if they didn't, they have their hands directly in it. It'll come out one day. It's going to come out one day. They can't hide
forever.
We're going
to push it out.
Yeah, you're not hiding. You're not getting away with this.
Which I have to say that I think a lot of the documentation that we've developed in our investigation needs to come out. I'm working to that effect because, of course, it's not my information. You know, it's not our information. Once we collect and develop information, we provide it to a specific client. That client now owns that information. And then, of course, we have to get permission to release all or part of it directly, as opposed to, you know, talking around the subject, which I hate doing because I like to just say, you know what, take a look at Brennan, take a look at Comey and what they knew when they knew it, as opposed to saying, well, there's a guy, you know, so you get that. So with that,
they weren't successful the first time around. Trust me, they tried it the second time around and they still didn't accomplish it. They're coming back.
And here we are. And again, to kind of bring this full circle, here we are with a president who ran on the fact no wars, you know, we're going to keep the peace. Here we are now facing President Trump having to, or being pigeonholed into perhaps getting involved.
He's being pushed into a corner.
Yeah.
And it's and it's by people in our own government. It's the same people that were sending aid to Ukraine. Start looking at the names.
Yep.
A lot of them are the same.
And the divisiveness is like so intense.
That turd Lindsey Graham. That guy. Oh,
Lady G. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Just start there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we are in really, again, an age of deception. Please recognize that. And folks, again, I don't know if this episode tonight, it was kind of a novel way or novel episode. I debated whether to even bring this up to this level, but I think you folks are intelligent enough where you can handle all of this. And if you're interested, you can follow through and learn a lot to save perhaps a lot of heartache down the road and know when you're being lied to and identifying that. So that's to me, that's a big deal. Because
if Doug didn't feel this was very important, or I didn't feel it was important, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, very important. And teach your children well.
Amen to that. Teach your kids, children, I'm sorry, very well. And make sure they have a skill, that skill. And any, believe me, a child can learn this a lot quicker than our age, okay, people our age. So
and remember, well, like when they leave for school, you know, you have them at home for how many hours before they go to bed? It's a very limited time compared to the time that the other side has them all through the day.
That's right. That's
the stuff exactly. They throw at these kids.
Amen to that. Hey, we're at the end of the show. I just want to say that tomorrow we're going to be dark. For the foreseeable future, I think Fridays are going to be a problem for me until I can get back to
Monday.
Monday, you're
next
coming.
Week, yeah, next week. Isn't Eric off Tuesday?
I'll just say this. Monday, it's going to be RT, Randy Taylor back. We're going to have a normal episode, but unless, of course, you folks want to continue on specific niche topics like this, if this isn't for you, that's fine. If it is, if you want more stuff like this, let us know in the comments at Rumble.
Yeah, that's what they're there for. Ladies and gentlemen, absolutely. RT at HagmanPI.com. Drop me an email. The emails are coming in now. People have been really happy with the show. They flash up on my screen when they come in. Also, the Exodus verse I was talking about is Exodus 6, verses 7 and 8. Okay. I won't read them to you. Exodus 6, verses 7 and 8. Now, bear in mind, that's one of the first, that's the, as far as I can find, the very first reference where God is very clear that he says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Cut and dry.
Okay.